When it comes to AMA Arena Cross in 2025, there is but just one question on all the viewers' minds. Who is going to beat Vince Freeze? So far, Vince Freeze has been the 3Ds. He has been dominant. He has been defensive, and he's been dead serious about winning this championship. So far, there has not been a contender that has really emerged throughout all six rounds that have been able to go toe-to-toe with this guy. Let's talk a little bit about Vince Freeze. Vince, obviously spending a lot of his time in Monster Energy Supercross throughout his career, he's been known to have a very aggressive nature about the way he rides. He settles things out on the track. A lot of the times he races clean. A lot of times he does not race clean. And that is well documented. I don't think anyone can say that every single move that Vince has made throughout his career has been smart, or I guess has been in the good nature of just solid racing. There has been times throughout Vince Freeze's career where he has pushed that envelope. But we're talking about the sport of motocross, supercross, and this sport, arena cross, where it is the tight confines of an arena. More often than not, it's either a rodeo floor or, heaven forbid, a hockey arena, where you're just going to be flying in tight formation. That's just the way it goes. This type of racing is tailor-made for a guy like Vince Freeze, who has always gotten good starts. He knows how to ride a wide bike, and when he needs to make room for himself, he does exactly that. I think that Vince Freeze is living in everybody's mind rent-free. He's just running amok on the entire series right now, and it's starting to show. You got guys like Michael Hicks, who's a championship in an arena cross series of his own right. He's readily admitting on Friday at the press conference saying, "I'm hesitant or I'm thinking twice about passing Vince Freeze because he quote unquote has bills to pay." Well, this just in, first pays better than second. So Michael, you might want to go ahead and make that pass. And he did exactly that this last weekend by putting an aggressive pass on Vince Freeze. Vince ends up going down in that very same corner, albeit on his own, but Michael able to go on and be the very first athlete aside from Vince Freeze in this championship to go out there and win an event. And that's a huge statement for Michael Hicks to be able to establish himself as that number one contender going forward. But is he that number one contender? Smash cut to Ryan Breese. Ryan Breese last year was absolutely in the driver's seat. As the tail of the tape was completely different in 2024 than what we'd see in 2025. Obviously, last year, Vince wasn't even in the championship, and Ryan Breese was on the Gizmo Mods Rock River Yamaha. It was basically a series or an effort that was sort of, I wouldn't say thrown it together last minute, but in a lot of ways it was. Because originally Ryan Breese was not planning on racing the entire series, try to race a few rounds of arena cross before Supercross kicked off, and then he happened to find himself in a title fight, and the financial mobility to be able to make a go of it in that series. Now he's in arena cross full time. Now he's on an MCR Honda, teammates with your number one contender and current points leader, Vince Freeze. So that puts Ryan Breese in a little bit of a between a rock and a hard place, because obviously he's the new guy on the team. He hasn't been there very long. And Vince Freeze has been with Moto Concepts for almost the entirety of the existence of the team. Tony and Vince go way back. Tony and Mike Genova go way back. And there's relationships there that it's just going to be different. When it comes to Ryan Breese, it has been win or bust. He has shown blazing speed, but he also has shown a propensity to hit the ground. And in arena cross, a short series where every single one of these main events can, if you have a bad one, can be extremely detrimental to your championship. He's putting himself behind the eight ball very early against an opponent that's not going to give it up anywhere, including in the corners. Vince Freeze, like I said, unbelievable off the starts. He's been extremely consistent with that, even when he doesn't get the gate pick that he wants. Now let's talk about that a little bit. Turns out that the rules are the same for everybody. A difference, I believe it was a difference as far as the ruling on gate pick for the first qualifier is Vince figured since he won the very first qualifier, the first heat race, You would then get the first gate pick to the first main event. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. It requires the fastest heat race winner, the winner of the fastest heat race on overall time, which was Ryan Breese, gets that position. And of course, Vince didn't want to give that up. He was very upset about this. May have had some choice words for the officials, but at the end of the day, he was able to find his spot on the line. And in the end, it did not matter because he raced down the front straightaway, ran it in, and he was able to take away that line from his teammate and races off to the win. He was almost uncontested during that very first race. So what needs to happen for Ryan Breese to be able to be a contender weekend in, weekend out, and ultimately by the end of this championship? First of all, he's got to stay on the ground. That's pretty obvious, I would say. Like the layperson who just rolled into an arena cross race for the very first time would probably tell you that you got to keep it on two wheels in order to win the championship. But it's incredibly important when you're racing a guy like Vince Freese, who he himself is not known to hit the deck on his own. In fact, if Vince goes down, it's usually in a situation where he was getting a little bit too aggressive in a corner or somebody had some sort of retaliation, which put him on the ground. He's got to take the fight to Vince Freese. And I honestly, at this point, I think he's got to put him on the ground, which is only going to create animosity in and around the MCR pits. We're going to see how that goes. But honestly, if Ryan Breese wants to win this championship, he has to be the aggressor. Now let's move on to a guy we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, and that is Michael Hicks. The only racer in this championship to have an event win aside from Vince Freese. We're only six rounds into this series. Of course, they race on back-to-back weekends or back-to-back nights on each weekend. So you're going to have six rounds over three weekends. And we have seen this guy who is the absolute busiest man in arena cross, racing both gas bikes and the Stark, have a lot of success. He's benefiting from having that extra track time. But the question remains if whether or not riding the Stark in any way is sort of taking away from what he's able to do on the gas bike or vice versa. When he's racing the Stark, is he ending up having to sort of take a little bit off of his fastball so he can save a little bit for those gas races? I would probably lean towards the gas class, the internal combustion engine race series that he's racing in is probably holding more weight than the Stark series. Of course, he's spent a lot of time on both machines. But I think if you gave Michael Hicks some truth serum and asked him, like, which one is the more important series? Which one are you putting more effort into? It's gotta be, that Yamaha that he's racing right now over on the arena cross class. Honestly, for me, Michael Hicks, he's got tons of speed. He is a former champion in an arena cross series. It's not the AMA arena cross series, but it's a series in arena cross all the same. And he knows what it's like to fight for a championship and be consistent with it all the way through to the end. Do I think that he's the number one contender right now? I actually think that's Ryan Breese, even though Michael Hicks has that victory. Now, let's talk about the guy who he's been on the podium nearly every single weekend, but all often also finds himself on the outside looking in of the top three in points. Austin Politelli, when it comes to needing to go really fast and having success in arena cross, you have to have a few different things. You got to have whoop speed, check. Austin Politelli is physical, check. You got to be able to make some room for yourself out there, and you have to have consistent speed throughout the entire weekend so that you can be at the front through heat races, qualifying, and ultimately in the main as well. Check, check, and check. The one glaring area that he needs to make serious gains in is the starts. Austin Politelli is putting himself behind the eight ball time and time again. He's outside the top five looking in at the beginning of a very short race. Yeah, they're 16, 17, 18 laps, but there's not a lot of room to pass out there. And all these guys at the front of the pack are going the same speed. It's going to be very difficult for those guys to make room for each other. More often than not, someone else is coming. It's one thing to have to race forward. It's a whole other ball of wax in order to be able to defend the people who are coming up from behind you. And he's got a ton of talent. Guys like Noah Viney, who again have also not had the best of starts, they want to get themselves to the front of the pack. They want to do so on a regular basis. Austin Politelli would do himself a huge favor by working on some starts or at least putting himself in a much better position on that first lap. If he can, if he can better his first lap position by a couple of spots over the next few weekends, he definitely has the speed. He definitely has the fitness to be able to put that Rock River Gizmo Mods Yamaha with the Race Tech suspension up into the top two spots, maybe even grab himself an event victory. You guys can let me know what you think in the comments about basically this whole series and how it's breaking down. It's really interesting to see how the Stark series is sort of coming together as well. Justin Bogle in there, he's a former arena or supercross champion, and he was an amateur phenom as well. He spent a lot of time racing for factory teams in Monster Energy Supercross. You have Kalana Humphreys, who's in there, who's an absolute lightning rod on social media. He's always in there doing his thing, and he's actually shown a lot of speed. For a guy who didn't have the most star-studded, results-driven amateur career, and he's still a very young guy, he's doing backflips on both the Stark and a gas bike. He's a Red Bull athlete. He's one of the only racers in the series that's running the One Industries gear, which is super, super neat. Also, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, Trevor Stewart is also in that gear. And it's been good to see Trevor in those races as well. But I'd love to see hear you guys in the comments about basically how that whole series is sort of coming together, the electric side of things. It's definitely electrified the series. And one thing that I was actually thinking about is the fact that that series has actually sort of surpassed or usurped the two-stroke effort that they had from previous years. If you recall, I think it was even last year. Yeah, it was just last year. They had basically a two-stroke race. And it's amazing that in just 1 year, we went from having a two-stroke race being showcased with guys like Jared Lesher to now it's electric. And maybe you can actually hear yourself think in the stadium, maybe let the place air out a little bit, because let's be honest, sometimes the ventilation in some of these stadiums or arenas is not optimal. But it's a really neat little wrinkle, especially with that kicker clash when it comes together. You get the top three qualifiers from the gas bikes, you get the top three qualifiers from the electric bikes, smush them together. This last weekend, I believe it was the gas bikes had the edge the entire time. I think that kind of had a little bit to do with the whoops. I think they had a little bit easier time getting the power to the ground, getting across the tops of those things. I believe in both kicker clashes, it was gas bikes out front, followed by the electric bikes 4, 5, and 6. But let me know in the comments, guys. I really appreciate you guys watching these episodes. It's always a fun for me to be able to sort of comb through and talk about this series and cover the sport of arena cross. It's beautiful. It's coming back to where it once was in the mid-2000s when you had guys like Josh Demuth and Chad Johnson, Buddy Antonez. But Buddy Antonez was more like kind of 90s, early 2000s. But you guys know what I mean. Like, this is a really special sport. It's kind of its own discipline. It really, truly is. It's different racing, it's different athletes, it's different stars, and it requires a different skill set than just supercross or motocross. It's kind of a discipline in and of its own. So if you guys like this episode, if you like these podcasts, check it out on both YouTube and on iTunes. I want to give a huge shout out to Race Winning Brands. You go to the website, you can check out all of the brands that they have, like Pro-X, Recluse, Wiseco Pistons. They have everything that you guys need to rebuild the machine with that OEM quality that is going to last a whole heck of a lot longer and not break your wallet into many little pieces. And then also huge shout out to one of our newest sponsors here on the Big MX Radio podcast, which is Moose Racing. Of course, that is a company owned by Parts Unlimited. They have jumped on board for 2025. We could not be more proud to have them. So go over to the website, check out their offerings. They always had a lot of gear that's really durable. But yes, they're big on the motocross side. They're absolutely huge on the enduro and the off-road side. So if you happen to be doing a kind of some diversity of riding, they definitely have riding gear that'll keep you cool and dry on the motocross track. They'll also have some gear that is hardy and durable to withstand hitting all the rocks and the roots and the mud and the trees and the branches that you're going to encounter out on the off-road. So check those guys out. A couple of other sponsors with Big MX Radio: Luxon MX, best triple clamps in the sport, bar none, not even close. I won't have any arguments any other way. You can save 10% with Big MX 25 at checkout with those guys. Backyard Design, Big MX 24 saves you 24%. I'm looking to have that changed to 25% and Big MX 25 for this coming year. I haven't gotten confirmation on that, so definitely put in Big MX 25. You can save with WUSA just by mentioning Big MX Radio when you call or place an order with them. If you mention me, I think you get at least 10%, if not 15% off your set of wheels. So it's a $1,000 set of wheels. I'm giving you $150 just because you're watching the show. Big MX 20 saves you 20% off of Guts Racing. And yeah, it's just a ton of great sponsors. You guys can also check out Fast Company. They have the Spoke Torque Wrench as well as the Flex Handlebars, both very innovative products that are they make huge differences for those who own them. I love my Spoke Torque Wrench. I use it almost every time that I ride, keep my wheels straight and true. And then the Flex Handlebars, I haven't installed them on my bike just yet, but I happen to know that there happens to be a Kawasaki team that doesn't even run their bar pad, but definitely runs their bars because they are that good. So check those guys out, guys. I really appreciate you watching these videos. Hit that notification bell so you never miss a single episode on YouTube. If you're listening to this on the podcast, thank you guys so much for staying with me throughout this. This last couple of months or so have been a little bit of tumultuous for me. For those who are watching on YouTube, you can see that I have a little bit different background than typically I did with my old office. So we've changed things up a little bit. But still the same amount of knowledge, same passion for the sport, and we're going to bring it to you. So thank you guys so much for making time to watch this or listen to it on iTunes or Spotify, and make sure that you're reaching out to me on social media. You can hit me up, Big MX Radio or Brad Gebhardt 88, and I'll be happy to go back and forth with you guys and check it out. So appreciate the time. As always, thanks for watching.